Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate this crazy, crazy life that we live. Your life's crazy too.
Yeah.
The world is upside down, inside and outside the church.
But the Lord is, well,
He's in control.
Our Lady.
Yep. He's present. He's not napping. We just need to rest in
Him. He's not asleep in the boat.
Right. So why don't you introduce our guest, because he is going to talk to us about one of the most popular and important devotions in the church, and one that we want to be a part of spreading and celebrating, as does he. So tell us who's coming on with us.
Okay. So I'd like to introduce Mr. Patrick O'Hearn. He is a devout Catholic, a husband, and a father. He is an author, content writer at Fusati, literary consultant, speaker, and a freelance editor. He has authored or co-authored 7 books and counting, and was a contributor to Father Donald Calloway's latest release, 30-Day Eucharistic Revival, a retreat with St. Peter Aimard.
Yeah.
His writings have also appeared in the National Catholic Register, SpiritualDirection.com, and Catholic Exchange. Welcome, Patrick. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Patrick, when did your devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows begin?
I think it began as a young boy, and it started with one of my mom's good friends was dying of cancer, and we would just pray a decade of the rosary every night with that candle by Our Lady statue, and I just had that the idea of someone suffering. And then I was drawn to that image of Our Lady with the 7 swords. And so, as you can see behind me, I don't know if it'll get cut off or not, but I have a big statue of Our Lady that I bought after visiting Mother Angelica's, the place where she was cured, the mystic Rhoda Wise's house. She had all these statues, and I just felt like I need to have a statue, and I needed to have Our Lady of Sorrows. And it's funny when we have guests that come over to my house, my mom kind of sometimes she'll like, you're going to scare them away with that statue. But I just, there's something about, you know, these swords that are in Mary's heart and just seeing her in pain. And so that devotion has, I think, been cultivated since a young boy, and then it's intensified through the years.
Now, in terms of your own devotion, that's also shifted because of your, I'm assuming, your fatherhood and bringing that to your children. Was that the motivation behind the new book? And just for folks who are wondering what we're talking about, the book is titled Devotion to Mary's 7 Sorrows for Children, Our Lady of Sorrows. I don't know if you can see it here and hiding my mug, which is, it's much better looking than my face. Maybe I'll just hold it here for
it's a beautiful cover interview. It's very striking.
But what inspired that?
I want to spread devotion to Our Lady, and that's, I felt like she chose me to be one of her instruments, and obviously having my children too, to pass on that faith, during Lent. I never force my devotions on my children, or even my wife, but I do lead by them. And so like this Lent, I was like, we're going to pray as a family. We're going to do the 7 Hail Marys. Every night I kneel down before my statue. It just, that statue strikes me. If I forget to say that devotion, it's like Our Lady, she reminds me. And so then this Lent, our family, I wanted to pray that together. So there is an element of spreading not only to my children, but really to the whole world, this great devotion, and the promises are so powerful. And also to give gratitude to Our Lady, because I felt she's protected me in so many times throughout my life. And I think this is just a way for me to give back to her.
I know Stephanie's wanting to get in and ask a question, but I'll pause after this one. I'm curious, like with the rosary, a lot of us have a favorite particular, mystery. Is there a particular one of Mary's sorrows that really gets under your skin or strikes you? And I'm actually curious if that's true for you too. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I would say, you know, the image, the Pietà that I had, you know, my illustrator, Adelaide, who'd do the illustrations are just beautiful. And that one, it just, and that's why in that reflection, you know, in these reflections, you have Our Lady speaking to the child. And I can't but help but think about Our Lady holding the baby Jesus, you know, at Bethlehem when, as she's holding him at Calvary, you know, her mind was going back to that moment. And so I think that, you know, just when I see that image there, it's always captured my attention. And to enter into Mary's pain at the moment when she's holding her son for the last time.
So the seven sorrows are the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. Mary meets Jesus on the way to Calvary. Jesus dies on the cross. Mary receives the dead body of Jesus in her arms, and Jesus is placed in the tomb. Which of those tends to get under your skin a little bit?
The one that always comes to mind first is Mary standing at the foot of the cross as Christ is dying and has died on the cross. Mm-hmm. There's something about her standing, number one. She hasn't turned in on herself in despair. She is standing in the truth of God. She's standing in the love of God. The understanding that this is necessary for the resurrection, that the idea of being crucified is necessary. And so I tend to love that devotion because I see the different trials through that lens. Mm. Oh, what is the Lord doing in this? He's doing something. We have to die to something. My loved one has to die to something. Maybe it's sin, maybe it's their self, maybe, you know, whatever it is, in order that God might be glorified and manifested in and through this suffering to bring about a greater good. Mm. That for me is extraordinarily powerful. Mm-hmm. And so I really identify with Our Lady of standing there in that truth. Yeah. We need not despair. The resurrection is coming. The Lord's at work. He is not asleep. God is sovereign. He conquers all. And recently, I just had this even deeper, greater awareness of this understanding that Christ gave his life over. Mm-hmm. He wasn't killed by us.
Well, he was, but he also gave his life over.
But in the moment of his death, yeah, he chose to give his soul over.
Yes, that's true.
Right? And so we wounded him, we crucified him, we scourged him, we beat him, we derided him, we betrayed him. We did all those things. Mm-hmm. But at the moment of his death, he gave his soul over. It was a choice to lay his life down and take it up again. And so I think so many times in our trials, we can lack the understanding that God is sovereign. We can get turned in on ourselves and forget that he's in control. And so for me, that's the sorrow that really speaks to me.
To you.
Yeah.
Patrick, why do you think devotion to Our Lady is of Sorrows is so essential to our spiritual life? What is it about the devotion that's so powerful and important?
I think there's two reasons, and you know, I wanted to get Father Ripperger, I was mispronounced his name, involved, and you know, he wrote the foreword, and he talks about Our Lady of Sorrows as the key to revealing our hidden vices and sins, and I've seen this in my own life, just asking her under this title of Our Lady of Sorrows, you know, what areas in my life am I, you know, not being transparent with God? You know, there's so many. You know, obviously pride, it blinds us, sin blinds us. And so this devotion, and even one of the promises to St. Bridget of Sweden says, Our Lady says that I will enlighten them about the divine mysteries. So not only the mystery of the cross, the suffering, but even the mystery of ourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's key. And then the other reason is I think, you know, we're just in our times that we live in, you know, we're so turned in on ourselves with our suffering. People don't know how to suffer well. You know, we see euthanasia on the rise. And so this devotion allows young children to start realizing that like suffering has a purpose, and then ultimately to forget our suffering and to focus in on Our Lady and Jesus. You know, I think Mary, I mean, she was so focused on Christ that she forgot about her own sufferings, and Christ was so focused on Our Lady's pain that he forgot about his own. So that's, I think those two elements are present and why this devotion is so important.
Fascinating.
I think one of the things that it can be really beautiful here is also to help children understand the idea of redemptive suffering, and that we can make it an offering, that it can be a very special offering to the Lord. Oh, you know, I scraped my knee, it hurts. And as mommy kisses it and bandages it up, and, you know, we remember Our Lady of Sorrows, it's, oh, I can offer this to Jesus for my best friend at school who's, you know, going through a hard time, or our neighbors who, you know, whose dad maybe lost their job and we're trying to help them out. So it is this beautiful gift of also teaching children how to offer that suffering. Why do you consider, why is Our Lady of Sorrows the secret to the best Lent, as you wrote in a recent online article? Why do you think she's, this devotion is the secret to the best Lent?
I mean, she knew Jesus' suffering more than anyone. And often, you know, Our Lady she's forgotten by the world. I mean, she's hated, I'd say despised by many in the world. And sadly, our Protestant brothers forget about her. And so she has this, it's like she almost has this key that can unlock the heart of Christ. And so when we ask her, you know, we always say when we pray the rosary, we contemplate, you know, Jesus through the eyes of Mary. But this devotion is mostly, it's focused on Our Lady, but I think she does. She takes us by the hand and she walks us to Calvary. And last year, I felt inspired to write an article for your great website, you know, Spiritual Direction. And it was a quote by St. Alphonsus. And he said that, you know, the interior sufferings of Christ were greater than his exterior sufferings. And Our Lady suffered in her soul exteriorly everything that Christ suffered in his body. So what better model than we have than Mary to show us, again, to show us, to lead us to Calvary and to help us understand her son's pain. So that's why I think she is, if we want to have the best Lent ever, we go through Our Lady of Sorrows.
We're going to head into a break. We're with Patrick O'Hearn, and he's written a new book. I think compiled is a better word. Devotion to Mary's Seven Sorrows for Children, Our Lady of Sorrows. We get back from the break, we'll talk about the promises attached to Our Lady of Sorrows and why they're important to us, and learn a bit more about this devotion. And then we'll jump into the way the book is structured and why parents would really want to get this and use it to help their kids better understand the suffering of Mary and the wisdom of God and how he works in and through our suffering. So we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about this really powerful and important devotion to Mary's Seven Sorrows. Our particular guest, Patrick O'Hearn, is helping us or helping the church by compiling something in particular for children. But before we jump to that, just a personal admission. So, and then I want you to get to the secrets as it relates to this. So last year, my beloved spouse approached me and said, hey, you know, you're a wonderful husband, but I sure wish, you know, XYZ was different. I can't remember what it was. and it was all appropriate, and you know, and it was something that I was blind to, and it really bugged me. It, what really bugged me the most is that I was blind to it, and I didn't see that. And she was right, of course, in what I'm saying. And so that was when I started my devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. We have it in our prayer book for our community of Apostoli VA. So it's not like it wasn't prominent for us, but I wasn't doing it daily like I am now. So I started it then daily, and I started it for the specific intention of self-awareness and mitigating, you know, those things in me that would in any way harm Stephanie or do anything but bring her joy. So talk to us a bit about, I mean, do you agree? Is that an appropriate application of the devotion and in terms of intentions? And how does that relate to the promises? Am I on or off base? Tell us a little bit about that.
No, you're absolutely correct on that. And I was really drawn to get Father Ripinger involved in this because he speaks so much on Our Lady of Sorrows. You know, he named his religious order after her, and just this idea that in the spiritual warfare, we need to know thyself, right? And Our Lady of Sorrows, she's our mother, you know, and our mothers, they know their children more than, like, you know, my mom, she knew me more what I needed than what I thought I needed. And so I think that there is that element. We ask our Blessed Mother under this title, reveal to me, you know, reveal to me those sins that I'm holding on to, that I'm afraid to confess those, you know. And so that's why, again, this devotion is so important for these times that we live in, especially at times of, I would say, of pride and autonomy, when people don't even need God anymore. Our Lady of Sorrows will humble us. You know, she has so much humility. And then in terms of, as you mentioned, I have my book here too, is the, you know, the graces that flow from these, you know, some of the promises. You know, there's seven promises, which I don't think is a coincidence. You know, those line up with the seven sorrows, but, you know, they're similar as to the Sacred Heart. So you have, I will grant peace to their families. And, you know, you see that, Dan, and, you know, when your wife is calling you out on something and you're correct, you know, there's an element of, there's not total peace in your home. And the more we can, when we combat these vices, that's when peace reigns in our homes, when we're living in accordance with God's will. And then the other one is, I will enlighten them about the divine mysteries. There's insights when you pray this devotion. You know, you will understand Mary's suffering. You'll understand Christ's suffering that like you've never known before. And then she says, I will console them in their pains and accompany them in their work. So it's like when you console Mary's heart, she in turn consoles you. And there's more I can, if you want me to go on, there's four other promises. But I think that those first three show that Our Lady wants to bring this level of peace in your soul.
Mm. Great. It's really beautiful. I have a profound devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. And we even have a Pietà that we found at an antique show. And she's enthroned in the retreat center here. Really exquisite and really wonderful. Dan shared a little bit of what she did for him. A couple of years ago, when we first opened this retreat center, there was discord and pain and distance with a family member. And I was very, very heartbroken about it and praying and praying and praying for resolve for that. And I undertook this devotion and I did it for 9 days. I did a novena, and every day I would pray all seven mysteries as part of my prayer disciplines during that time. And the beautiful thing about Our Lady, if we think about who our mother is, and a mother in the truest sense, if she's safe and if we go to her, she's going to tell us the truth because she loves us. If she's a true mother, right? She's going to tell us the truth in a way that nobody else can tell us and really speak to our hearts. And so I went to her as my mother, and I said, this pain is beyond me, and I give it to you each time. And what she gave to me at the end was extraordinary, because I was praying for the healing of the relationship. And what she revealed for me on the last day was what I had done to contribute to the brokenness of the relationship. Now, I will tell you, that is hard to stomach, you know, and my knees buckled, and I went to profound tears and sorrow and contrition. But it was a light that I needed because I had not seen that. And then I could go to confession. Well, that opened up a space for grace and brought profound healing to the relationship that now, 2 years later, is like a different relationship. That came at the feet of my mother, of our mother, in Our Lady of Sorrows. So we can trust her to deliver it in a way that won't crush us, but that sometimes we need to know what are those blind spots and, you know, and what can we do about it. So I think we've kind of answered the question, but I want to hear from you as well. In what other ways do you believe that this devotion is essential? What did Father Ripperger say? How did he explain that this is essential to our growth as authentic Catholics?
Well, thank you for sharing that. He said, in the foreword that he wrote, it just said, children at a young age, they have this capacity to suffering. They see one of their classmates or maybe one of their relatives suffering. And so he touches on that, like, Our Lady, again, draws them into this mystery of suffering and suffering well. And then secondly is this notion we've been talking about, revealing our sinfulness, revealing those hidden vices. And even for children, it's tough to, because of original sin, we hide our faults. We, it's like we have this, we don't want to maybe go to confession. We're afraid to tell Jesus. And again, it's Our Lady of Sorrows that says, like, why do you fear my son? Like, she grabs us by the hand and says, like, do not be afraid. Like, pour forth, your sins to my son, and like, I'm there with you. And I'm your advocate. So I think, that's what I see in this devotion. And one of the fifth promise is probably the most powerful one. And Our Lady says to St. Bridget of Sweden, to those who have this devotion, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their lives. I've touched on this briefly. I don't want to go into huge detail, but I was in a religious order for about 3 years, and I had someone come after me. And I believe, the moment that I left my monastery, Our Lady was in my monastic cell. I didn't see her, but that's the power of this devotion. Like, I told my wife, I was really close to, I'd be knocked out of my vocation. I'd probably be in a mental hospital. If just the effect of, when you see homosexuality, the effect that, the people in the church that come after young men in seminary, it messes you up. And this is where, I brought Our Lady of Sorrow statue with me into the monastery, and that's where she's with me. And that's where I feel like people that, that are spiritually attacked, maybe there's physical attack by people. This is where she is so powerful. And I just encourage everyone to have this devotion.
So let's talk to parents really quick. How is the book laid out? And I'll just to give folks a little bit we're a live streaming audience, a little bit of a glimpse of the artwork on the inside. It's beautifully illustrated and it's simple in its layout, which is obviously for children. I like that it has the Hail Mary both in English and Latin, so you can teach young children the Latin if you desire. But tell us a little bit about what inspired the layout.
I start with, Adelie, the illustrator. So she starts with, she has the one sword. And mm-hmm. so we progress. So that's the first sorrow. And then we have where it comes from in scripture. Then there's a little message from Our Lady, like the fruit of, obviously insights Our Lady's given me. And so what would Our Lady say to a child in that mystery? And then we go into the Hail Mary in English and Latin, and then a prayer asking for a particular virtue associated with that sorrow. And so you'll progress again through the second sorrow, the flight into Egypt with the second heart. There's flowers that are associated with Mary. And I don't know all the names of them, but each you'll see, it's pretty beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like the third one is the forget-me-nots, and they're mm-hmm. They have some kind of association with Mary. As you go through the book, you'll, it's almost like a Lectio Divina with each of these sorrows that you can mm-hmm. just sit with. After the seven sorrows, I found this litany by, Servant of God, Pope Pius VII. And I have to say, this is one of the most beautiful litanies I've ever prayed in my life. That some of the titles of Mary, like he calls her the Sea of Bitterness, the Mass of Suffering. I think it's probably my favorite litany. And then So again, adults can tap into this devotion as well. This isn't just, you know, I did write it for children, but I really believe that adults can pray this book as well.
No, absolutely. And I just, even looking at it just now, had you not pointed out the different flowers, I may have missed that, because it's rather subtle, but it's extraordinarily beautiful. And then you have the scripture verse with each sorrow. So it starts with, this is the third sorrow, the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. And then the scripture verse that you can use for Lexio, for mental prayer, and then go into the different prayers. I actually think this is an extraordinary way for adults or children, or parents with their children, to pray through this devotion. It's very powerful, very beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you for your devotion to her. Thank you for putting it in such a beautiful, simple form that we can all benefit from. And with that,
Before we go, I just want to tell folks, this show has been sponsored by Holy Habits, which is an app that's available in all platforms that will help you to, let's say you want to begin to practice the devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. You can put it in Holy Habits and in like a little rule of life, and you can get accountability with a friend and check whether or not you did it every day. So check out Holy Habits. And also, to learn more about Patrick O'Hearn, you can go to patrickohearn.com. That's patrickohearn.com, and keep an eye out. He has 7 other books that are worthy of your consideration. And in particular, check out Our Lady of Sorrows, Devotion to Mary, 7 Sorrows for Children, published by Sophia Institute Press. Patrick, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Dan. Real quick, there's an R in the between the Patrick and the R. R. O'Hearn.
Right? Okay,
so perfect. If you go to patrickohearn.com, you'll get a new age musician. So I just
Patrick R. O'Hearn.
Patrick
R. O'Hearn.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Thank you. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.